It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. As we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. JT, how are we doing?
Doing great, Rocco. How's everybody doing today?
Not bad. Not bad at all, man. And how could you be, right? The Browns winners of four straight right now, really at a commanding 9-3. And it's a fun time here in Northeast Ohio, no doubt about it. And I wanted to start with, you know, how they've done it. And something you sent me earlier before we started recording here was the turnover battle. And I really wanted to key in on that to start things off here. Because, again, that's been a big part of their success. They won that battle 3-1 against the Titans, and they're 8-0 this year when they are winning the turnover battle. So for a defense that has so many question marks, right, could that aspect of creating turnovers and winning that turnover battle, could that be enough to carry them through a postseason run despite having so many question marks defensively?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. It's kind of something that you add to your arsenal that you know when you go into a game that you've got the ability to take the ball away from the other club. And, you know, you mentioned the staff that just how successful they are when they win that turnover battle. And that's significant. And obviously their defense needs all the help they can get in this respect because, you know, they can still give up big chunks of yardage. We saw that Sunday, even though it was playing with a huge lead. I get that. And also on Sunday, they had some instances, I think, Rocco, where, you know, they made a play on, they had one interception that was taken away from them. If I recall the targeting, if you will, on one of the defensive backs when the Browns got an interception on a throwdown field, that was negated because of the penalty, which preceded it by literally a half a second. And so, you know, when they're doing that, when Sheldon Richardson is playing, he was tremendous. And when he's playing that type of a game and forcing big dogs like Henry to cough up the football, it's all good. And I think it just kind of sets the tone for how they play each day if you can get kind of an early takeaway and then take advantage of that.
Yeah, I've been impressed with their ability to create those takeaways and, again, win that turnover battle because they'll give up the yardage, but it's a bend-but-don't-break mentality of sorts with this defense. So I've been impressed in that regard. They've been road warriors as well, which is kind of, we don't see a whole lot of that with the Cleveland Browns, right? Yep. Maybe a lack of fans because of COVID maybe has something to do with that on the road. But so far, JT, on the road this year, they've been very, very impressive. Who do you attribute that to?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that come into play. You know, Baker is very good at using his cadence as a weapon, so he can use that on the road, as you mentioned, with virtually, you know, very small amount of fans in the stadium. He can push people, get people to jump off sides and what have you. But, you know, being 4-2 on the road through six games, that's pretty significant. And you can go back all the way to 1969. They were 5-1 on the road through their first six games. So they're playing really strong football. And I think a lot of it goes back to how they are prepared. And this has been a weird year from the beginning, Rocco, with COVID and with all the meetings being done, Zoom calls, and with not having the ability to practice. But yet, just the week before this game week, they had those instances. That was Thanksgiving week where they had almost each day there was a different guy that was put on the COVID list because of having COVID, whether it was Myles Garrett dealing with it, whether it was Porter Gustin, I think Taki Taki was in the mix. And they've had so many things that they have been dealing with. For them to keep their composure, go on the road, just come out and play so strong. What they did early in that game was just, you know, they put five guys on the defensive line, and it took Mike Vrabel a long time to even adjust to that. So Stefanski's really coached well, and I know that's another one of our talking points, but when you have a team that's 4-2 on the road and comes up with a big win like that against these guys, that's a significant thing. So I think you put that, you know, in your resume as you go forward, and you can use that as a learning and talking point to your team that, you know, he can say that we have been pretty successful so far. We can be better on the road, but by and large, this is another area that we've improved in, and another reason why we're in the conversation for not just the playoffs, but perhaps even making a run in the playoffs.
I did want to dig deeper into the Stefanski conversation, so I'm glad you mentioned that. But before that, I did want to ask you about Myles Garrett. Obviously, his return from the COVID-19 reserve list was this past Sunday. How did you evaluate his performance?
Well, I mean, he played 52 snaps. That's pretty good for a guy you're just not sure how, you know, just how much endurance he's going to be able to have. I know it was really important for how they attacked Tennessee in the first half of the game, Rocco, because of the manner that they did and were so successful on the offensive side of the ball, kept making first down after first down, obviously kept Miles and the defense off the field. I had a stat there. I don't think I wrote it down on my pre-notes, but I think in that first half, the Browns had like 43 offensive snaps, and the home team only had 22. So if basically for the game, they had the Browns were phenomenal in that first half. They had like 43 plays. They got 22 first downs on 43 plays, which is just ridiculous. Everywhere I looked when I was charting, they were phenomenal on what they did on their first down plays, which we can get to as well. So Miles, if he's playing roughly, you know, 60% of the snaps just for the whole game, he's not really playing that many snaps in that first half. And then, obviously, you had the endurance to be able to play 52, the brunt of them, or the majority of those snaps being in that second half. And, whoa, Olivier Vernon played exceptional, and so did Richardson. So they got some good games out of those big boys up front.
Fox 8's John Telich, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You mentioned it, JT, there, so we can get into it now, the play calling. I mean, what an efficient performance from the offense, particularly in that first half, just marching up and down all over the Tennessee Titans. You mentioned the snap differential, time of possession. I mean, everything that could go right for that Browns offense did in that first half. Break that down for me. What were you seeing? Why were they so efficient?
Well, I broke down the first five possessions where they built up a 31-7 lead. I think the only possession beyond that in the first half was the possession that ended with Nick Chubb vaulting over the top for a very short touchdown. So in those first five possessions, on first downs, there were 16 first down plays. They ran the ball eight times, and they passed the ball eight times. A lot of it was play action on those pass plays, and very, very successful. I think what Stefanski did to get those, allow those receivers to be running free with wide open looks, it was just masterful coaching. And now certainly Baker could have come out and thrown errantly on some of those passes, and we'd be griping about him, but he did not. He just threw the ball exceptionally well. You could see in that first possession when he threw the ball right on the hands of Donovan Peoples-Jones, who dropped it on that play, but you just knew that more of that stuff is going to be coming to Baker as the game went on. So I thought it was great that on those first downs, he eight runs, eight passes in those first five possessions. So Vrabel's just wondering what in the world can they do defensively. He knew they had a susceptible defensive backfield, and he just went nuts on them, whereas you would have thought, hey, Browns run the ball, great, just run the ball, stuff it down their throats. But no, he was very versatile in his game calls in that first half, and you saw the result. And then this was the second game this year that Baker's had four touchdown passes in the first half. Nobody else has done that in the NFL. He was throwing 75%. He's in a real good zone, even though Rocco, we're talking about a few of those games where he didn't throw the ball that much because weather played such a huge part. But he's now five straight games, no interceptions. And even if you count the game where he threw the pick, that would have been the Cincinnati game. That was the last game that he threw an interception. But put that game in with all the other stats. 5-1 Browns record. He's thrown for 1,347 yards in those games, 11 touchdowns and just that one pick, which I believe was against the Bengals, and it was also the same play that OBJ got injured on.
Man, you may need to have a conversation with a couple of Baker Mayfield naysayers around Northeast Ohio here, because there's a lot of people that still put a lot of doubt in him. And I mean, rightfully so at times, but performances like the one he had against Tennessee, really starts to, you know, push away that doubt. And you also brought up the masterful game plan from Kevin Stefanski, and I wanted to get into him just a little bit more here. Has he kind of, I guess not so quietly now, entered that Coach of the Year conversation?
Yeah, I really think he has, and I think more and more of the national people have picked up on that and are starting to see the breakdowns of some of these games and how he has schemed you know, schemed people open, or what he did early in that game, like having five defensive linemen on just about every play, and it took a while for the home team, the Titans, to come to the realization that they had to change things up. I mean, look what they did to Derrick Henry in that first half. Mm-hmm. He's had another game this year where he ran for like only 60 yards, which is basically what he did on Sunday. But they created that because of how Stefanski and the defensive coach Joe Woods and their coaches came up with a plan to negate what Derrick Henry did. They made him put the ball on the ground, which was devastating because that's not what he does. So I'd put him right up there. You know, you can talk about Mike Tomlin because up until a couple of nights ago, he was coaching an NFL team that had not lost a game. They have one loss now. The coach in Buffalo, McDermott's doing a great, great job. We mentioned the Giants on occasion. They're starting to get their legs yeah. underneath them, and that's also another rookie coach. So, but you look at the Browns. They're already at 9 wins. They're coming off a 6-win debacle of a year ago. They changed coaches, and everything that's been thrown at them, injuries, Myles Garrett out for a while, Chubb gone for a month, Teller out for a while, OBJ hasn't played in 6 games. Denzel Ward has been missing because of his injury. All this stuff, and he just seems to be nonplussed. He just seems to be doesn't react high, does not react low, just kind of, as people joke, flatlines it. But the guys, they take their cues from him. There are a lot of young guys on this team still, and mm-hmm. you know, I said in a month and a half ago, I didn't think this was their year. Maybe they're speeding up the time clock. I don't know, but because of this rookie coach, you would think that there would be things that would be erratic. Yeah, he's sure he's made a decision or two here, which you're going to quibble with. But I think, by and large, he's done a fantastic job. Maybe you also could put Sean Payton's name in this conversation. But definitely Tomlin, McDermott, and Stefanski as far as Coach of the Year candidates. And he keeps hitting the ball out of the park. I've been very impressed.
He's a very marketable candidate, too, isn't he? I mean, like you said, rookie head coach in Cleveland. Yeah. You've been losers since they've come back. I mean, just so much going into this season, losing your star receiver. I think there's a lot the NFL could market with that award if it were to go to Stefanski. Not that that's what it's all about, but you got another tough one as they welcome in the Baltimore Ravens this upcoming yep. Monday night. And boy, did they look good earlier this week against Dallas, kind of looking like the Ravens of last year. Yep. Going to be a tough one, I think. How do they pull out a win?
Well, they did to Dallas what the Browns did to Dallas, right, Rocco? I mean, they just ran the ball at will on them. Now, the difference between the two teams, obviously, is that the Browns get all of their yardage via two fantastic running backs, and the Ravens get theirs with the quarterback getting, let's say, you know, 30%, 35% of the yards, and the running backs taking care of the rest. And they have that defense. You know, the Ravens have that defense, and you can never negate what the DNA is of the Baltimore Ravens. They have a very, very good defense, and that stifled Andy Dalton the other night and the Cowboys, and they picked up that win, and they kind of got their mojo back a little bit. And this is a huge test because a lot of people were saying, all right, the Browns can beat the Bengals and who, you know, the teams that are in front of them. But I would say so far this year, Rocco, there have been two signature wins. The Colts, who are now realizing that, yeah, beating the Colts is not a small deal. And then, obviously, last week with the Titans. So this is a huge one. This is the Ravens. This is the team that embarrassed you earlier in the season.
Yep.
But how much of a different football team is wearing those orange helmets this week versus 14 weeks ago? And I think it's a much different team and a more, you know, the rookies, the rookie tackle is no longer basically playing as a rookie. He's played pretty well. Their offensive line is doing well, even probably going to get Wyatt Teller in the mix if he keeps testing negative because he's a close contact of somebody who's had COVID. So we'll take that day by day per se. But it's going to be great. It's the Monday Night Football that you wanted. You remember the disaster of a few years ago when they lost the game on a blocked field goal?
Or, the kick know, six,
or,
yeah.
Was that an extra point? Was that an extra point or a field goal? There's been so many debacles with this team, I can't remember. But it was horrific. And so this would be a great Monday night retribution type of a game if they come out and play strong and beat the Ravens. The only thing missing would be having that stadium with 70,000 fans, yep, as opposed to the smaller amount of fans that are allowed per the health regulations.
Oh, it'd be a great night for it, too. Mid-December, playoff implications on the line. Oh, it'd be nice to have a Raucous-Brown stadium. But alas, it'll be COVID-safe and friendly and everything. So it'll be fun. It'll be physical. It'll be entertaining. We'll get a lot of questions answered about the Brown and Orange Monday as they host the Baltimore Ravens. JT, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. We'll break things down from this upcoming Monday next Wednesday. We'll have another chat.
Sounds great, buddy. Have a good week.